Tonight on the Worldview Report, the data is out. More terrorists have been apprehended at the southern border in April than in all 4 years of the Trump presidency. There's an epidemic of colon cancer among young Americans. The doctors have no idea why. The January 6th riot, well, that was a made-for-TV event, complete with voiceovers and artificially concocted sound effects. So says a noted conservative journalist after looking at the original video footage. A Biden appointee to the UN calls for the United States to pay reparations to the ancestors of black American slaves. The Catholic University at Notre Dame, well, they virtue signal their support for gay pride. And the federal government now wants to mandate car makers to install automatic braking systems in all new vehicles. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. The Federalist reports that Border Patrol agents caught 16 people on the FBI's terror watch list trying to illegally cross over into the United States via the southern border in April, bringing this fiscal year's suspected terrorist arrest up to 98. Not only are the 16 arrests for April higher than the recorded combined arrest totals from fiscal years 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020 under then-President Donald Trump, but it's the same as the total number of suspected terrorists apprehended at the southern border in fiscal year 2021. Data from U.S. Customs and Border Protection also suggests that the number of suspected terrorists arrested in April alone was five times the three watch list apprehensions listed for all of fiscal year 2019 and fiscal year 2020. There are still 5 months left in the 2023 fiscal year, which means that 2022's arrest total of 98 people on the watch list, which is an all-time record for the U.S., well, that will easily be surpassed in the coming months. Already, CBP, their data, shows 98 non-citizens watch list members were arrested at American borders in 2023, all but two of whom were caught at the southern border. So, ever since Biden took office in January of 2021, border arrests, they have skyrocketed. The number of suspected terrorists captured by border agents, well, it may still be small compared to the 1.7 million illegal border crossers in fiscal year 2021 and 2.4 million in fiscal year 2022. But folks, it's alarming. They only need to have one really bad dude get over the border and carry out a terrorist attack. Only one. As the FBI's Terror Screening Center webpage notes, everyone listed on the watch list is, quote, reasonably suspected to be involved in terrorism or related activities, end quote. And most, quote, are not Americans, end quote. Just as millions of arrests and hundreds of thousands of gotaways, well, they continue to increase, so does the number of national security threats seeping into the country undetected. All Israel News recently commissioned McLaughlin and Associates to conduct a poll by going into the field to ask several questions about the worsening border crisis. The first question was this: with millions of people illegally entering the U.S. since President Biden took office, are you worried that Middle Eastern terrorists will attempt to enter the U.S. through Mexico to launch more 9/11-style terror attacks, or even to attempt a, quote, nuclear 9/11, end quote, with nuclear dirty bombs? As All Israel News reports, The results were sobering. Fully, 66% of Americans say they are, quote, worried, end quote, or, quote, very worried, end quote, by such a scenario. This includes 46% of Americans who fear terrorists will come into the U.S. through Mexico to pull off 9/11-style attacks. It also includes another 20% of Americans who fear that terrorists coming through Mexico will really want to attempt a, quote, nuclear 9/11, end quote, with nuclear dirty bombs. The survey also found that evangelical Christians are even more concerned than their fellow Americans. Turns out that 79.1% of evangelicals fear Middle Eastern terrorists coming through Mexico and that they want to pull off a major attack inside the homeland. And they're right. This includes, by the way, 60.4% of evangelicals who are worried about a 9/11 style attack and another 18.7% who are worried about a, quote, nuclear 9/11, end quote. In other news, how the mighty have fallen. The Catholic University of Notre Dame is officially supporting Pride Month. The university tweeted on June 1st, quote, Happy Pride Month. We celebrate all LGBTQ+ identities and reaffirm our commitment to being a welcoming, safe, and supportive place for all members of the Notre Dame family. We see you. We're glad you're here. You're an important member of our community. End quote. Catholic website LifeSite News notes that support for homosexuality and transgenderism is in direct opposition to the teachings of the traditional Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that homosexual acts are, quote, of grave depravity, end quote, are, quote, intrinsically disordered, are contrary to the natural law, end quote, do not proceed from a genuine, effective, and sexual complementarity. Under no circumstances can they be approved, end quote. The Catholic Church also explicitly condemns the removal or mutilation of healthy organs as well as direct sterilization, which can be part of someone presenting themselves as the opposite sex. We've seen other Catholic universities making similar woke declarations recently, right? So clearly, this is a church at war with itself. But this is also going on within the Protestant world, which is why I wrote the book in 2018 entitled Marxianity. I also recently just completed a series on the Jesuits and Pope Francis and what he's doing and how many leading Catholic authorities warned years ago that cultural Marxism would seep into the Catholic seminaries to prepare a generation to once, well, it has reached the heights of authority, could vote themselves in a Marxist pope. This not only comes from individuals such as Malachi Martin, a former Jesuit who resigned his position and then began to write books warning about it. It also comes from people like Archbishop Vigano, who today is saying the very same things. So yes, there is a war on inside the Catholic Church. There's also a war going on inside the Protestant, evangelical churches and denominations. Well, what it proves is this is clearly of a spiritual nature, a spiritual battle, as described in Ephesians chapter 6. Meanwhile, Jesuit priest James Martin, speaking of Jesuits, said this past weekend on Twitter that celebrating gay pride is compatible with devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because both teach us about the love of Jesus. Martin states in a tweet, quote, In June, Catholics celebrate the month of the Sacred Heart. LGBTQ people celebrate Pride Month. LGBTQ Catholics celebrate both. One shows us how Jesus loves. The other shows us whom Jesus calls us to love today, end quote. In an accompanying tweet, this is what he wrote, quote, Where would the Sacred Heart be today? It would be poured out in love on these people who seek love and acceptance, end quote. Acceptance. How about repentance? The Daily Mail reports that colon cancer deaths among young people are expected to double by 2030. That's what experts are warning. Cancer is also expected to become the number one cause of cancer deaths in people under 50 by the end of the decade. Doctors are still trying to determine what's behind the unprecedented rise. Tops on the list of the theories is modern diets, which are heavy on processed food and sugars. But it could also have to do with overuse of antibiotics and fungus. Dr. Christopher Liu, co-director of gastrointestinal medical oncology at the University of Colorado Medicine, said, quote, colorectal cancer will be the number one cause of cancer-related deaths in patients 20 to 49, end quote. Speaking at a cancer conference in Chicago last Saturday, he added, quote, this is a humongous issue, end quote. Cancers of the colon and rectum are currently the third most common type in the U.S. and the third leading cause of death of both men and women. The doctor said that in young people, both diagnosis and death rates are climbing, even though rates in older populations are declining. The American Cancer Society estimates about 153,000 cases of colon cancer will be detected this year, including 19,500 among those under 50 years old. Some 52,550 people are expected to die from the disease. In a March report from the ACS, scientists warned that the rate of colon cancer in people aged 50 to 54 nationwide was now nearly 60 per 100,000. For comparison, between 1975 and 1979, the rate was around 40 per 100,000. So this is indicating a 50% increase in about 45 years. About 43% of the diagnoses were in people aged 45 to 49. The U.S. is not the only country seeing these alarming rates. A 2023 review found that while the U.S. had an early onset of colorectal cancer rate of 12.4% per 100,000 people, Australia had a 13.5, Norway had 10.5, Korea 10.1, and the United Kingdom had 9.3. The good doctor said, quote, we don't know why this trend is being seen in numerous countries that have different diets and exposures and environmental factors, end quote. We'll be right back after this break.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dolphin.
Whoa, whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35 or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
We've been hearing for months about a coming counteroffensive in Ukraine in its war with Russia. There have been some drone attacks on residential areas of Moscow and some incursions into border towns. But so far, nothing that would change the strategic direction of the war, which to this point has been a slow grind in Russia's favor. All this has led one online publication known as Zero Hedge to ask, quote, did Ukraine forces just attempt to kick off their much-anticipated major counteroffensive, only to have it put down immediately after it began, end quote? That's what the Russian Defense Ministry suggested early on Monday of this week when they announced that Ukraine has begun a, quote, large-scale offensive, end quote, in mounting attacks along five sections of the front line in the eastern Donbas region. But Russia said it thwarted the major attack and that some 250 Ukrainian troops were killed, which included Ukraine sending 6 mechanized and 2 tank battalions to Russian-controlled southern Donetsk. Quote, on the morning of June 4th, the enemy launched a large-scale offensive in 5 sectors of the front in the south Donetsk directions, end quote. That's what the MOD statement said. Quote, the enemy has failed to reach its goal and was unsuccessful, end quote. The BBC, of course, like most Western media, remains very skeptical of the Russian military narrative. And yet, Kiev has admitted some degree of, quote, offensive actions, end quote, Sunday into Monday. Watch this.
Let's return now to our top story. Russia's defense ministry says it has thwarted a Ukrainian attack in the occupied Donetsk region. Kyiv hasn't responded directly, but says there has been nearly 30 clashes in Donetsk and Luhansk. The increase in activity is the latest sign that an expected Ukrainian counteroffensive appears to have begun. So what exactly do we know? Well, let's speak to Ed Arnold, who's research fellow for the European Security within the International Security Studies Department at RUSI. That's a defence and security think tank. Ed, thank you for being with us. There's a lot that I want to ask you and a lot for us to get through, given what we've seen over recent hours about what's happening in Ukraine and indeed in Russia. What is your assessment, first of all, about whether this much touted counteroffensive has actually now begun?
Yes, well, the main point is that Ukrainian operational security is very tight. There'll be no significant announcement of a start of offensive, but what we're seeing is a lot more activity, certainly in the volume on the line of contact between Ukraine and Russia, but also in terms of the forces that are starting to do slightly larger reconnaissance in forces. So where we saw them at smaller echelons, it seems that Ukraine's now operating at battalion level, and they're starting to probe Russian lines and defences to try and understand where the Russian defences are strong and where they're weak. And it's when they find that they're weak spots that they'll start to then start to push further in, and we'll start to see the counteroffensive in sort of full swing.
Yeah, and Ed, explain to me, if you will, you know, away from military parlance, about what these kind of probing attacks are designed to determine. We were talking a little earlier to an advisor to the Ukrainian military, suggesting that this is just a case of finding out what sort of defence is there, what sort of Russian forces are there, and then they can plan a little more strategically. Is that how this works?
Yes, and Ukrainian intelligence, I mean, they'll have very good imagery of the defensive locations in terms of where the, you know, anti-tank ditches and tank traps and some elements of minefields, then the trench systems that are firstly up front and then also in reserve, and then further back. That's what really Ukraine needs to understand. It needs to understand the disposition of Russian forces within there, so they need to understand the strengths. That's actually much more difficult to see, because obviously you can hide troops either within trench systems or wood blocks in the area. But then critically, what Ukraine are now trying to do is also unmask the Russian guns, which sit quite far behind the line, and they can support, mutually support, a couple of different areas. If they start firing in the defensive, they're easier to target, and now Ukraine has longer range weapon systems that have been supplied by the UK, France and others, so they'll be looking for those targets to take them out, so that then they'll have a much easier go of it when the offensive really starts to kick in.
The United Nations has created something called the UN Permanent Forum on People of African Descent. Last week, Joe Biden's appointee to this UN forum, Howard University professor Justin Hansford, quote, called on the United Nations to set up a reparations tribunal and explore options to offer some type of justice to Black Americans for slavery, end quote. Hansford said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech lays out the argument for reparations. But the speech has been, quote, distorted, sanitized, and drained of its true radical vision, end quote. He added, quote, despite that, I believe we can now safely say that Dr. King's assertion that the U.S. Constitution was a promissory note which came back marked insufficient funds for its Negro citizens was both accurate and ominous. It's now clear, more clear now than ever before, that reparations is what justice looks like in the 21st century, end quote. Well, how are you going to do that? when there were black slave owners. Yeah, go look it up. It's in one of my documentaries that I put out in 2018, Sabotage. There were black slave owners, and they owned a lot of slaves. And then what about the fact that you have ancestors of black tribal members living in America now, and those black African tribes were involved in whooping up on other black African tribes, conquering them, and then selling them into slavery? Oh, and then what about the Islamists that were the ones bringing the slaves to the slave ships on the coast? Are we going to go after Saudi Arabia and all the Islamic nations for their part? No, I don't think so, because this is about going after largely the free market system, Christians and capitalists. Yet, it was a group of Christians and businessmen in a print shop in Europe that launched the abolition movement. But you'll never, ever hear that from most liberals. The leftists tell us that diversity is always good for society. Diversity for the sake of diversity. No exceptions. While diversity can be good, it's not always the case. Take the situation that played out in a small town in New York recently. The Postmillennial reports that police in Manlius, New York, revealed that one of the town's beloved swans, Faye, was killed and eaten by a group of teens over the Memorial Day weekend who claimed they had simply been, quote, hunting, end quote. The swans young were also reported missing, but were eventually tracked down and recovered unharmed. The teens, refugees from Myanmar, have since been criminally charged with grand larceny, criminal mischief, conspiracy, and criminal trespassing, and may face additional punishment related to animal cruelty from the state of New York and the Department of Environmental Conservation. According to local SYR, police were notified of Faye and her baby's disappearance on Memorial Day and launched an investigation. The three teens allegedly climbed over the fence surrounding this swan pond sometime between midnight and 3 a.m. on May 28th before approaching Faye and killing her. She had been nesting at the time and did not put up much of a fight. Quote, they did ultimately consume the swan, end quote. That's what the Manlius Police Sergeant Ken Hatter said during a press conference, quote, but I don't know if that was more cultural beliefs or not. They didn't really get into that. We didn't ask specifically, but it did occur, end quote. Back home in Myanmar, maybe that would have been a perfectly normal thing to do, kill a swan on public property and eat it for lunch. There have been cases where refugees coming from certain Islamic countries think they can come here, sexually abuse a child, or conduct an honor killing. This is America, guys. And if you want to live here, you should at least get a basic course on what's acceptable in American culture and what's not. You need to assimilate or get out. Well, now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. It doesn't take a genius to realize that automobiles have been slowly morphing into a self-driving autonomous mode of transportation. Much of this is being driven not by consumer demands, but by technocratic influences in government and the corporate world. If you veer slightly one way or the other, auto-correcting steering will kick in and jerk you back to the center of the lane. We've reported on kill switches, which the Biden regime is mandating by 2025. Well, now, the National Transportation Safety Administration wants cars to brake by themselves. The Truth About Cars reported that last week, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration floated the notion that every new passenger vehicle should come with automatic emergency braking systems. It would seem that the stage is being set for another mandatory safety inclusion, with the NHTSA targeting universal implementation by the end of the decade. That's according to the article. But AEB effectively has the car assessing a situation and deciding when to apply the brakes without any input from the driver. Testing? Well, it is likewise shown how faulty these systems can be. In fact, the American Automobile Association, they ran a series of studies to see how competent mainstream automatic braking applications were. And the results? They were pretty abysmal. In fact, they were abysmal in most situations. Most AEB systems proved decent enough at avoiding fender benders with the vehicle directly in front of them, but, quote, borderline useless when it comes to smacking into pedestrians, end quote. That's what the Truth About Cars reported, adding, quote, many likewise seem to suffer from night blindness and become less effective at higher operating speeds, end quote. Well, that is something the NHTSA would like to address and made direct note of the issue in its proposal by stating there would need to be significant progress to advance pedestrian automatic emergency braking rulemaking. The Truth About Cars concludes, quote, with AEB reliant or sensor arrays, usually camera and or radar arrays in the front bumper, some have argued that mandating them would further increase the cost of modern vehicles. But most vehicles produced today already have these systems. And additionally, tech requirements being mandated in Europe, some of which are downright creepy, have already encouraged manufacturers to go on ahead with the process for North America, end quote. The Department of Transportation and the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, well, they have likewise been pressuring the industry to implement AEB for years without any formal legislation coming into effect. Many of the largest automakers already include automatic braking as standard equipment. But is it really going to be effective? Probably not. Will it result in less freedom to actually operate your own vehicle? Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is the goal. One thing's for sure. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is on board. He stated, quote, today, we take an important step forward to save lives and make our roadways safer for all Americans. Just as life-saving innovations from previous generations like seat belts and airbags have helped improve safety, requiring automatic emergency braking on cars and trucks would keep all of us safer on our roads, end quote. Remember what Ronald Reagan said about the most terrifying nine words in the English language, quote, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. End quote. By the way, all of these extra things they're going to mandate are going to eventually, I believe, put cars at such a high price, the average family will not be able to afford a car. But isn't that ultimately the goal? So we can all become like China and ride around on bikes and not burn fossil fuel? Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. Thank you for tuning in and for supporting this viewer-supported broadcast. You can do that a couple ways. One is to go to MyPillow.com or MyStore.com and use the promo code B66. MyPillow.com, sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and much more. There are a lot of sales going on over there. Father's Day gifts, housewarming gifts, graduation gifts, wedding gifts. Check them out. Great deals, great products. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. Also at MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, you'll find many things like this all-natural energy and health supplement that I developed with an FDA-approved facility several years ago. I've been taking this for years. Red wine extract, bilberry extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract. You don't have to take my word for it. Go do your own homework on the benefits of these extracts. It's an all-natural energy and health supplement loaded with antioxidants. You know what that means, right? So it's available. Comes in a powder form, mix it with water and drink it. It's got a grapey taste to it. I have it every morning, and my wife brings it to me a lot of times in the afternoon at 3 o'clock because it's an all-natural energy and health supplement. So again, if you're interested, you'll find it and more details at mystore.com. Use the promo code, please, B66. Got to throw in that disclaimer. This product has not been evaluated or endorsed by the FDA. It's not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Another way you can support us is by going to WVWTVstore.com. You'll find a lot of emergency freeze-dried food items there. The entrees are very good. I've eaten many of them. And you'll find emergency supplies, including potassium iodide to protect your thyroid in the event of a nuclear event. We reported in this broadcast that about 66% of Americans are concerned with some kind of nuclear event occurring, nuclear terrorist attack occurring in America. Well, potassium iodide is about protecting your thyroid. Our government has recently spent, according to news reports, about $290 million on anti-radiation medication. What are they preparing for? So if you want to get potassium iodine, we have it in our store along with other items at WVWTVstore.com. You can also use the phone number 901-468-9357. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, if you appreciate what we're doing, you can simply support us with a contribution of any size at WVWFoundation.com. Think of us as the conservative alternative to NPR, public television. They're viewer supported. We are as well. But we offer the news, the real news, the truth, through the lens of a Christian worldview. We appreciate your support. WVWFoundation.com. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.